This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
I believe that an HMO that wrongly denies coverage to a patient should be held liable in court. But we must keep our eye on the purpose. We want to give patients the care they need when they need it. The idea is to serve more patients, not to create more lawsuits in America.
President Bush, of course, speaking Wednesday to a gathering sponsored by the U.S. Department of Labor in Washington, D.C. Mr. Bush has threatened to veto a patient's bill of rights supported by most of the Democrats in the U.S. Senate. Dan Shore joins us. Morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And the president's calling for significant changes. What seems to rile him most?
Well, there are several, but just to give you a couple. Assuming that the president will be backing the Republican bill, which is sponsored by Senator Frist of Tennessee, I guess what he wants is to put suits against HMOs, these managed care organizations, into federal courts rather than state courts. Why? Because state courts are generally considered to be more sympathetic to the patients. Then there's a question of putting a cap on how much you could recover in such a suit. They want to put a cap of $500,000 there. They want to shield employers from getting sued. Those are some of the main points.
Mm-hmm. Is it too early to discern who has the hotter hand where public opinion and the Senate is concerned?
Well, I'll tell you, we have, first of all, the veto threat, and an explicit threat of a veto can never be considered to be an idle threat. Mm-hmm. At this point, it represents pressure on the Democrats in the Senate, and they are already in negotiation with the Republicans. Majority Leader Tom Daschle indicates now his willingness to give employers more protection from liability lawsuits. So that's intended now to head off a Phil Graham amendment that would exempt employers from these suits altogether. If the Democrats can drive a wedge between the employer lobbies and the managed care lobbies, they will be a significant step ahead. Mm-hmm. At that point, the president would find it hard to veto a compromise bill if it were supported by his own party in Congress.
And where do you think the debate's headed over the next term?
Well, it'll not headed for sure for any very early vote. I think at this point they're playing that game of compromise by amendment. We have to see how that works out. At some point, the president and the Republicans in Congress have to decide whether they are better served by getting a bill or getting a political issue with a lot of finger-pointing about who killed Cock Robin. At this point, all that can be said for sure is that the patient's bill of rights is alive and well in a Congress and in a Senate, which would not even have been considering it were it not for the Jeffords defection a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Who killed Cock Robin and can he sue?
And can we sue? Very good.
The U.S. Justice Department announced Tuesday it is considering settling the landmark lawsuit against the tobacco industry. Mr. Bush says it's the most appropriate and fitting way to reach an agreement. Why this new approach?
Well, first of all, Republicans have never been very big on suing the cigarette companies who are a quite big contributor to Republican coffers. Mm-hmm. The Attorney General, John Ashcroft, opposed the suit, in fact, when he was a senator. Then the suit was already partly lost when a federal court ruled against recovering some $20 billion a year that the government has to spend because of smoking-related illnesses. With all of that, the Justice Department decided, let's go for a settlement.
Mm-hmm. What can we expect, you think?
Well, when you announce that you want a settlement because you have a very weak case, you're certainly not scaring anybody very much. And so I believe that the cigarette companies are approaching this now with all the most deliberate speed and probably feeling out the government whether if they don't want to settle, they'll just drop the suit altogether.
Let me ask about the Middle East, because the White House seems to be stepping up efforts there. Secretary of State Colin Powell will be in the region next week. Prime Minister Ariel Sharon of Israel will be coming to Washington, D.C. No invitation yet to Yasser Arafat. How do you see this new flurry of activity?
Well, no, and unlike the Clinton era, when Yasser Arafat seemed to be at the White House or Camp David almost every other week, there will not be an invitation to Arafat until he shows that he can and that he will keep a cap on Palestinian violence.
The administration, of course, at one point said that there was a certain amount of benign neglect. My phrase, not theirs, to be sure, was the best the United States could do. Why have they now inserted themselves back into the thick of negotiations?
Well, because the Middle East can't be left to itself that way. There's too much American strategic interest involved. Mm-hmm. And, of course, having said the administration would stay on the sidelines, would not send any special envoys, they have now sent two special envoys. That is George Tenet, the CIA director, and Ambassador William Burns, and now they're sending a third big envoy, that's to say Secretary Powell. It is a matter now, I think, of trying to reinforce the ceasefire. The Palestinians want somebody, it's not clear who that somebody would be, to monitor the ceasefire. Mm-hmm. That idea, by the way, is supported by Avraham Burg, who's the labor rights speaker of the Israeli parliament, who's been around here in the past few days. Powell wants to find a way of moving from the ceasefire, if you can stabilize it, to the next stage of the report of George Mitchell Commission, which would be confidence-building measures, which would then lead to resume peace negotiations. What Powell, I think, is interested in now is maintaining some sense of momentum.
Well, let me ask you, can at the same time the United States afford to be away from the peace process that might be coming apart once again in Northern Ireland? There were riots in Belfast this week again.
Yeah, well, yes, it can. I mean, this is not the Middle East where there's a big strategic American interest involved. Mm-hmm. Now, President Clinton loved mediating the situation in Northern Ireland, but I don't think it is a must for this administration the way the Middle East is.
14 people were indicted Thursday in connection with the 1996 Khobar Towers bombing that killed 19 American servicemen. Attorney General Ashcroft said the attack was inspired, supported, supervised by what he called elements of the Iranian government. Mm-hmm. Does this complicate the U.S. position now that a new reform-minded, more reform-minded, I suppose we should say, government to which we would like to get closer to has been elected in Iran?
Well, that's interesting because Louis Freeh, the outgoing, I guess now really outgoing director of the FBI, mm-hmm. seems to have been convinced for a long time that, in fact, that the Iranians were directly involved. I'm told that he said he had hard evidence that somebody named Brigadier General Ahmad Sharifi of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard had selected Khobar Towers as a bomb target on order from the Ayatollah Khamenei, who was Iran's spiritual leader. But the Clinton administration didn't move for a long time, and Freeh said that getting these indictments was the very last thing he wanted to do before he leave office, and he waited for the Bush administration to be able to do it.
Let me ask you this finally. This week, or last week rather, at this time, we were watching the first ever meeting between President Bush and Russia's President Vladimir Putin. Mm-hmm. Mr. Bush shook Mr. Putin's hand and said he liked him, that he looked into his soul and liked what he saw. Having had a chance to reflect on it through this week, what's your estimation on the emerging relationship between these two presidents?
Well, by Monday, 2 days later, some of the bloom was already off the rose when Putin called an American journalist and told him if U.S. goes ahead with its missile defense plans, that what Russians will do is put multiple warheads on all their missiles and find a way of overwhelming it. But I think mm-hmm. there's another important thing that one has to ask, and I believe that Putin probably did ask, why the Bush administration is so obsessed with some theoretical North Korean or Iranian missile, when Osama bin Laden's zealots are supporting terrorism from Chechnya to Yemen. Here we have the big alert going on now in the Persian Gulf. The Russian press says there are worries about the safety of the G8 industrial summit in Genoa next month, mm-hmm. thinking of meeting on a ship. You know, what do you call this? The superpowerlessness of our superpower?
Okay, thanks very much, Dan Shore.